It's time now for Talk of the Town, brought to you by the Ozarks team of Century 21 LEMAC Realty. Talk of the Town brings you the latest in upcoming events, intriguing stories, and valuable information. Now, here's your host.
Heather Loftus is here. Hi, boss.
Hello, how are you?
Glad to have you back.
Yeah, I heard about some of your April Fool's pranks that you wanted to play, but you did not.
I was good. I did start off with a classical Vivaldi yesterday and said,
I have a neighbor, honest to goodness, my neighbor who lives next door to me wants us to play more classical music. So there you go.
Well, I'll try to find some. But I did play spring Vivaldi yesterday and said, KTLO is going all classical all the time, 24 hours a day. Just kidding, April Fools. John Montgomery is here as well, Sheriff of Baxter County. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, I bet there were some people around this area that were hoping that you were playing an early April Fool's joke on them last week. What do you think, Sheriff?
Well, I don't know. That was, again, that's the first time we've had an operation of that magnitude here, and nothing but positive feedback. Well, no, there was a few got put in jail that weren't positive feedback.
So take us back to the first... Forgive me. I think it launched on Tuesday.
It launched on Tuesday.
Okay. So by Tuesday afternoon, lots of people, lots of chatter in town saying, what is going on? There are so many cop cars everywhere, both sheriff, ASP, all
tons
kinds
of
different
calls.
Things, tons of phone calls to KTLO. I reached out to you and you said, let's talk about it later in the week. So
yes.
Here's your opportunity. I know we've run a story about it, and you've had a press release, but...
Well, if you'll allow me, let me just take you back just a brief before Tuesday. Okay, so what prompted this is it's very frustrating for law enforcement. So if someone's on probation, that means they were given probation instead of going to prison. But here's a set of rules you need to follow. And one of those rules, you got to check in with your probation officer once a month. If you're on parole, that means you got released from prison early. But you got to follow the rules, and one of the rules is you got to meet with your parole officer once a month. If you don't do that, then they consider you an absconder because you're not meeting. Well, because the prisons are so full, and all of the county jails, except ours, is so full, they won't even let them go look for them for 6 months. So you've got an absconder, you've allowed them to be out in society, and they're not even having to follow the rules. There's over 10,000 absconders in the state of Arkansas. Very frustrating for us.
How many locally?
Roughly 100, okay? And while we pulled 14 off the street during this operation, we didn't stop. I mean, we're still looking, and we've got folks looking. We're gonna try to make them accountable here in Baxter County. But that's what started this all. And so, you know, I reached out to Little Rock and to the head of the special response team for parole and probation and said, would you be willing to work with us? And so that kind of evolved, and they come up here and met with us. And then from there, it got the local folks involved, probation and parole. And then we reached out to the local cities, you know, Gasville, Cotter, Mountain Home. And then the Arkansas State Police. I talked with the colonel ahead of that. And so ultimately, we decided to have a big operation. It's a three-day event, started Tuesday. So probably that morning during the briefing, there was, I'm going to guess, somewhere between 80 and 90 of us trying to cram into a small room. And so we left at that point. So the state police had 18 to 23 extra state troopers here per day. And for a county this size, that's a lot. And that's why people kept seeing a lot of what their objective was is to, when they make a traffic stop, they're looking for people that have warrants, that they have absconded, that they may have drugs or other criminal activity, you know, that may be there. That was their focus. Now, obviously, if they stop a speeder or somebody didn't have a seatbelt, they're gonna take care of that. Local probation and parole was doing home visits on the parolees. And then, of course, we're out working all of that. And so it was a culmination, three-day event. I think it was extremely successful. We made 74 arrests, booked 71 people in the jail, and took a lot of drugs. We seized boats and cars of criminal activity. Again, it was, I think, a big success.
Okay, help me with the numbers. You said 14 earlier, and now you arrested 71. So do the math for me.
Well, so the 14 I was talking about are the absconders. In other words, those are, they have been on the lam from parole and probation.
Okay.
Of the 74, that include warrants of arrest, that include drugs and, other criminal activity
gotcha.
that may be. So that was that total. So we found a whole lot of other things in the process. One example, there was a actually it was a sex offender that we did a compliance check on the sex offender, and in when doing that, found guns hidden under the bed, one of which was stolen back in the 90s. Okay, another sex offender, we seized computers and phones, except that they weren't supposed to have. I mean, parolees that had lots of quantities of drugs, counterfeit money. I mean, it just goes on and on and on what we found. And everybody, and I think this is the impressive part, all of the agencies worked together, didn't hear any bickering, no disagreements. They got in and did their job. And I think if you look at, you know, I talked with the colonel of the state police, and then they had a local captain that ran this operation. Everybody talked about the professionalism and how everybody worked mm-hmm. together. And it's holding people accountable, which is why we called it Operation Accountability.
What happens with everything that you confiscated?
Well, it'll have to go actually in front of a judge, and a judge will have to rule whether or not it can be sold. And then depending on circumstances, the proceeds may go to the prosecuting attorney. Some of it may possibly come divided up among the agencies that were involved. But the judge has to rule on that. Whether it's but it's seized and held until such time that the judge would make a rule on that.
I read a comment, and apologies to who I'm not crediting on Facebook for this, but lots of new residents of the Gray Bar Motel in Baxter County.
I like that.
I like that, too. So of the 71 that you arrested, how many are still there?
I don't have a number, but there were, because they were on, if they were on parole or probation, they're basically going to be there for at least a while until they can have a hearing in front of a judge. Mm-hmm. Now, the others that were not on parole and probation, they could certainly have the ability to bond out, you know, through and get out back out on the street, but they'll still have to answer in court.
So with the high quantity of residents there, it's been a little quiet around here since then.
Well, you know, it's interesting. now, our detectives were slammed. I mean, obviously.
And will be for a while.
But you're right. It has been somewhat quiet.
Yeah. Let's talk big picture. So you're able to do something like this, and you have availability in your county jail that 99% of the other county jails throughout Arkansas do not have. So you're able to do this when others just can't. You've got 10,000 absconders across the state of Arkansas, but there's no place to put them.
No, because the prisons are full. And we've talked about this before.
Even the Board of Corrections and the governor can't agree on that point.
Yeah. Absolutely. The prisons are full, and they're not staffed properly. I mean, they're struggling to get enough staff to work at the prisons. And part of that's due to location of some of the prisons, because there's not a workforce. A lot of it has to do with the wages are stagnant for those detention officers that works for the prison. So, again, if you take back several years ago, we used to lose folks quite often to go to Calico Rock to work at the prison because they got a significant amount more money. That's not true anymore.
And then you lose them to the city. I mean, it took you years with the state prison, then it was the city, and then finally, several years ago, the county was able to come up.
Yeah, and we pay more than both of them in most cases.
I think I told the governor that.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting, talking about the governor, she asked me point blank why I thought our jail was not running over like almost every other jail is. And I said, well, I can give you an opinion. And the opinion is two things. Number one is we never stopped locking people up. So even when COVID hit, now we opened the expansion in our jail about the time COVID hit, but we didn't kick people out and we didn't stop locking them up. Now, courts were not in session. And so just through attrition, the numbers went down. But we kept locking them up and we didn't turn them loose. And, you know, and lots of the other jails did, because of COVID and everything else, they just kept kicking them out the door. We didn't. Number two, we don't run a Holiday Inn. And I really think that has a lot to do with it. Now, that doesn't mean people are not still going to reoffend, but if you look at the number of complaints that happen and from the inmates and from the people that's been out, we don't provide TV. We don't provide, notebooks and iPads, and we don't provide that. Again, you get beans and cornbread 365 days a year. It's not the Holiday Inn. It's a jail. It's not supposed to be pleasant. So when you put all of that together, I really think that's why our capacity has been running at about 50%.
So I mentioned I was out of town. I had the opportunity to tour Alcatraz. And so we did the whole tour. And I mean, we went inside that jail and they slammed the door shut. And we talked a long time about, you know, you really do feel conflicted. You want reform and you want people to get better and be able to go about their lives. But you also, you know, people need to be punished when they commit a crime. I mean, there's a big personal confliction there.
Well, I guess let me ask you this. If as a parent, okay. So do you punish the child? Why? Okay. Yes, to correct the behavior. But what you're hoping to do is not only punish them for the behavior they did, but to correct it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if they don't, the punishment has to progressively get more. It's really, in my opinion, again, I'm not an expert, but in my opinion, it's the same principle here. Mm-hmm. So you want the punishment to be unpleasant,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you hope that, and there's programs, lots of programs out there that when they get out of jail, that they have the ability, and again, if they choose to, want to, and that doesn't mean those that with substance abuse aren't going to have issues and have relapses, but if you provide those things. But again, why do you not commit as a child, why do you not do that again? Because there was punishment, and you know what's going to happen if you do.
You mentioned the court system. Massive backlog across the court systems. I mean, this is not at Baxter County and Arkansas. This is across the United States. You know, how will last week's operation affect the court system?
Well, we'll see. The fear is that they're just going to be so overloaded that they'll just start making deals just to get them through the court system. I hope that's not the case. And we included some of the judges and the prosecuting attorneys before we ever started this operation to get them on board. And so even district court, because again, there was a lot more traffic tickets than normal. And so, Judge Carney was, I mean, very much let's do it. And so, that's going to be an issue is, getting them through. Now, part of the frustration too is, you know, there's people that sit in our jail on what I would call first time minor drug offenses. They need to be processed and gone. I mean, now, if it's your 10th, 15th, 20th time, that's a different story. The punishment, again, in my opinion, should be more severe.
We need a triage, kind of like you have at the ER, like where we can just triage some of those people and then like keep moving everyone else through.
Well, yes, I agree with you. That sounds simple, but there's certain legal, you know, things that have to happen, and you have certain rights and all, you know, representation by attorneys, and there's not enough public defenders. I mean, and so it's complicated.
Yeah.
But I go back again, if you hold people accountable, and I've said this all along, if you hold people accountable, I think the vast majority of them will comply and do right. When you let them run amok, think about a classroom full of kids. There's some kids in that class you'll never have a bit of trouble at them. Others, as long as there's a teacher in the room, you won't have a problem with them. Others, if you kind of, you know, if you will prod them a little bit, you'll be fine.
We didn't even get to it. Quorum Court is tonight.
Yes.
You're on the agenda?
I am.
Yeah. Any breaking news for
Well,
KTLO?
We are. Earlier this year, the personnel committee approved us 4 more road deputies, but not a funding. So we went to the Quorum Budget Committee, and they have approved the funding for 2 road deputies. And because they have some, there's some, who's going to get promoted and go to the academy. So it really, we won't see those till mid-August. But that tonight, they'll officially approve the agenda to fund those.
Ready for the eclipse?
Yeah.
Lots of thoughts we're not supposed to talk about on the radio about the eclipse.
Well,
you're under strict orders from your wife.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I'm going to comply. But I will say again, just if you'll just use common sense, get your car filled up with gas, go to the grocery store before the weekend gets here. And then again, if you don't have to get out, you can see the eclipse from your house, your yard or whatever. Do that, you know. And from law enforcement, it's kind of like a tornado. You can kind of talk and plan, but until it actually happens, you don't know where to send your resources.
Right.
So for us, yeah, we've talked and we've planned, but until it actually happens, you're not going to know how much resources and where to send them.
We feel the same way. And I'll just remind all the listeners, we're going to be here. We're going to be broadcasting live. We're going to be checking in with people. There's going to be people all over the county, you included, Sheriff. And we'll be talking to you and telling people, you know, what's going on. But we'll see. We're going to eat good that day. I know that. I help plan the menu. So
yeah, I just found out about the menu and I'm excited. It's nachos.
I may have to swing through.
Please
here.
Come on. So our offices are closed to the public, but Sheriff, you're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No bathrooms are available at KTLO that day. Yeah,
sorry. For, the doors are locked.
For whoever's from traveling outside. No, go somewhere else. Sorry.
Thank you, Heather Loftus. Thank you, Sheriff Montgomery. Good to see you.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town, proudly brought to you every weekday by the Ozarks team of Century 21 LeMack Realty.